Greetings in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome as we have yet another worship service online. We pray that you will feel God's presence as we worship together this morning. If we had been in the sanctuary, as we normally are, we would have opened with the hymn number 196, There Is a Fountain. I'd like to read this hymn to us. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Can you imagine losing all our sin stain and all our guilty stains? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And the chorus just goes on, it's repeated. I'll say the last few lines, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, how we praise you this day for Jesus Christ, your precious and only begotten Son, our Savior, our Lord, the precious Lamb of Calvary, who died on the cross to pay for our sin, and his precious blood was shed to wash over all of our sin. And Lord, for this, we give you thanks. We know that our words are not adequate, but we do know we can particularly give you our thanks when we give our life to you, Lord Jesus. Place all our trust in you as our Savior, as our Lord. Want you to be Lord of our life in every aspect. We praise you and thank you and ask that your Holy Spirit would so guide us during this time of worship. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. You might like to have your Bibles with you today, and we're going to be reading, not immediately, but shortly, we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and also chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As we know, this Sunday, is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a special day in the lives and the hearts of mothers and of children. Many years ago, someone collected some sayings by children, not sayings as much as letters or notes sent to their mother. I have a few I'd like to share with us. These are all from children, boys and girls, 8 or 9 years of age. From an 8-year-old girl, Dear Mother, I was going to make dinner for you for Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. Your daughter. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. From an 8-year-old boy. Dear Mom, I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle this year for Mother's Day better than the snake that I got you for last Mother's Day. From a 9-year-old girl. Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it was on Monday, so then we wouldn't have to go to school. From an 8-year-old girl, Dear Mother, I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith wasn't looking. From 9-year-old Billy, Dear Mom, Arthur and I promised not to fight all day long for Mother's Day. From an 8-year-old girl, Dear Mother, here's a box of candy I bought you for Mother's Day. It is very good candy because I already ate 3 of the pieces. And then finally, again from an 8-year-old girl, Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a very happy Mother's Day. Well, Mother's Day is indeed a unique time for us to gather and worship. We think of our mothers. We think dearly of our mothers. Sadly, there are some who have not had a good experience between mother and child, but for the most of us, we've had a marvelous and a wonderful experience. For some of us, our mothers are still with us. For others of us, our mothers have gone home to glory. But nonetheless, on this Mother's Day, we remember our mothers with great fondness. We want to thank God for godly mothers. Mothers, who are godly mothers? Well, these are mothers who place all of their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. They provide an example of relying on God all day long. And they give this example to their children, and their children see that mother's relationship with God the Father through Jesus is vitally important. These are mothers who teach their children about the love of God and that they are responsible for loving God in return. Mothers seen reading and respecting the Word of God. Mothers who are seen in prayer, particularly in praying for their children. I've been impressed with Paul's reference to Timothy's mother and grandmother in Scripture. Now, Timothy, to Paul, was a very special young man. In fact, in Philippians 2, verses 20 to 22, Paul talks about Timothy being like a son to him. As near as we know, Paul did not have any children, but he certainly looked at Timothy as being his son in the faith. So now let us refer to the Word of God. We're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then in chapter 3. Let us hear the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And then over in chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 12. We're sort of interrupting in the middle of a sentence here, but Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he directs his attention. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This message from Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. Three generations of faith: Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. How we can praise God for godly mothers and godly grandmothers. Mothers and grandmothers who pray for their children, whether their children are still children or mature adults. Whether their children are obedient or prodigal or wayward or whatever they may be doing. The fact that mothers and grandmothers continue to uphold their children and grandchildren in prayer is a marvel to behold. And I commend every mother who's listening today and praise you in the sight of God for your diligence in praying constantly for your children. I believe there's nothing as powerful as the prayer of a mother or the prayer of a grandmother. Nothing so powerful. So God's blessing upon you today. Keep it up. Keep praying for your children and grandchildren. This morning we're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to talk about a godly mother's faith. The faith that is convictional, a faith that is communicable, and a faith that is commendable. A mother's faith is convictional. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we read these profound words. I have been reminded, says Paul, of your sincere faith to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. What a magnificent tribute that is to Timothy and to Lois and to Eunice. It's a faith of conviction. That's why we use the word convictional. It's a faith that is scripturally sound and savingly sure. Scripturally sound. In chapter 3, verse 15, and how, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy could not have been taught if his mother and his grandmother were not aware of and didn't know of the scriptures that were available to them at that time. They could not have taught him if they didn't experience this personally. It was a God-centered faith. In fact, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's vitally important that we are speaking and preaching the word of God, whether we do so at home in our family or we do so when we're collected together in a church sanctuary setting. It is the word of God that needs to be preached, and the word of God gradually gets into the inner mind and inner being, into the heart of every person who hears it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's when the word of God is treated with respect, treated with honor, shown to be important, that the word of God is not left on a shelf somewhere or on a mantle somewhere and never referred to, but rather it is referred to on a regular basis. This was important in the mind of Lois and Eunice, and therefore became important in the mind and the heart of Timothy. It's a faith which needs to be scripturally sound, based on the word of God. That's why it's vital for Christians everywhere to be attending congregations where the word of God is taught and preached and held in high respect. Not just vain philosophies of mankind, but rather the word of God, teaching us and instructing us, because all scripture is given for our benefit. And that's why it must constantly be preached, constantly be taught, constantly be read. A faith they had, these godly mothers, that was scripturally sound and savingly sure. In Acts 16, verse 1, he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The mother was a Jewess, and a believer. Mother and grandmother were both saved. Many believe that they were saved on Paul's second missionary journey. Eunice, Timothy's mother, was a Jewish believer. Praise be to God. His father was a Greek. We don't see anything further about whether or not his father was a believer. But we do know that his mother and his grandmother were. They were godly women, teaching their son and grandson all that he needed to know about a relationship with God the Father through accepting Jesus Christ, his son. How vitally important that is, and how important it is for mothers to teach their children about having a relationship with God through accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. On one occasion, Queen Victoria was asked a question through her aide by an African chief, and the African chief simply wanted to know what was the secret of Britain's greatness. And so Queen Victoria, the great-great-grandmother of our present Queen Elizabeth, she had a Bible in her hand, and she said this. She held the Bible up tell the chief that this book, the Bible, is the secret of our great success. I wonder how far away Britain has strayed from all the tenets of Scripture that guided the British Empire for so many years. However, we've been assured that our present Queen, God bless her, that she has committed her life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. A mother's faith, a godly mother's faith, is convictional. It's given with conviction, so that those who see know that it's sincere, that it is true, and her children and grandchildren want to have that same faith. Not only is it convictional, but it is also communicable. Paul reminded Timothy about his sincere faith, faith that his mother and grandmother had. He learned from them. Obviously, they communicated with him on a daily basis. No one like a mother can do this. Let me reword that and say there is no one like a mother who can do this with her children. Fathers, we do have responsibility. We have responsibility for spiritual leadership, responsibility for example and instruction. But mothers have the deepest impact on their children, particularly from infancy on. They give the greatest impression as to what life is all about, life in Christ Jesus. Faith is communicated by personal education and by practical demonstration. In 2 Timothy 3:14, we read these words, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned, Timothy, and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In all kinds of ways, Lois and Eunice communicated and taught their faith to Timothy. He became well-rooted in the Christian faith, even from infancy on. Now, I'm told that in Jewish households the world over, for many, many years, for centuries even, under the husband's instruction, the mother of a newborn child would go into the child's bedroom, hover over the crib, and pray the Shema over the infant in the crib. What is the Shema? The Shema is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Listen to these words that a Jewish mother would pray over her infant child. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Can you imagine that being prayed over an infant, night after night after night, or every time the infant put his or her head down to go to sleep? This godly mother would pray this over their child. They would grow up hearing the Word of God, the Word of God coming into their mind, into their inner being, into their heart, so to speak. They would know that they were to love the Lord their God with all their soul and all their heart and all their strength. Faith is certainly communicated by personal education. It's also communicated by practical demonstration. Timothy's mother and grandmother and Paul himself, they all saw the sincere faith in Timothy. It was the reality of their faith being worked out in their son and grandson. No one actually knows about Paul's father other than he was a Greek. They don't know whether he was a believer or not. But what they do know is that the mother and grandmother were believers. Now, husbands, this is an important message for us. It's not adequate for us to assign the spiritual upbringing of our children to our wife. It is a dual responsibility. It's something we both need to be involved in. Husbands and wives giving spiritual leadership. It's important for all ages in all stages of our children's life and growth. And it's even vitally important, perhaps more important, in this day and age, because I believe we're living in the time when Jesus is going to return soon. And those who are going to be with him are only those who've placed their trust in him. So fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, we have a great responsibility to pass on our faith to our children. It's not inherited. It must be learned. It must be received. They, on their own, must put their own personal trust in Jesus as Savior. A mother's faith, a godly mother's faith, is convictional, it's communicable, and it is commendable. Some believe that Paul perhaps stayed in the home of Lois and Eunice as he was on his missionary journey. He was impressed with what he saw and what he experienced in Lois and Eunice passing on their faith to Timothy. There are two truths that emerge out of this, and the two truths are a lasting influence of a mother's faith and a living relevance of a mother's faith. The lasting influence. Paul referred to Timothy's sincere faith. That is a faith without blemish, a faith that is absolutely real, a faith that is not fake. We hear a lot today about fake news, and quite frankly, it's difficult sometimes to determine what is genuine news and what is fake news. But we all want to respond to the genuine news. We want to respond to genuine faith, and genuine faith is only in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the world today, people may well ask the question, well, what is a man or a person without money? Or what is a man or a person without power? Or what is a man or a person without prestige? But those aren't the questions that should be asked. What we want to ask is, what is a man, a woman, a person without Jesus? That's the question that needs to be answered. Every person needs to know what they're going to do with Jesus, either accept him as Savior and Lord of their life or reject him. It all boils down to one of two decisions, accepting or rejecting. People of faith, men of faith, women of faith have changed families, have changed communities, have changed nations. Two truths, the lasting influence of a godly mother's faith and the living relevance of a godly mother's faith. We know that times change, that fashions alter, but mothers, praise be to God, are never out of date. There is no one in the world who apparently adapts to the way in which their children ought to be brought up than mothers dealing with their children in our day and age. There's absolutely nothing like a Christian father and a Christian mother working together to raise their children to a place of placing their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. As a message to mothers on this Mother's Day 2020, ensure you have faith in God through placing all of your trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Remember, you are vitally important in the life of your children, and your faith is vitally important in the life of your children. If your children, whether they're still children or adults, or your grandchildren, still children or adults, are not regularly worshiping the Lord, then pour out your prayers over them. Petition Almighty God for their salvation. Petition Almighty God that they will make church attendance and worship of Jesus a priority in their life. Pray that they will not allow other things to interfere with their time of worship. Pray that even after this pandemic that we are experiencing at the moment and this lockdown, that our families will come back to the Lord, and they will come to church, and they will come to hear more and more about Jesus. Give them the greatest gift that you can give them, and that is an example of your love, your life in Jesus as Savior. Show them that the Lord is real to you, that is important in your life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we offer praise unto you this day for godly mothers everywhere and for mothers who cannot be classified as being godly. We pray for them today and pray, O God, that they too will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior and make him Lord of their life. We pray for that, O God, and pray that you will encourage every mother this day and that they will be uplifted and they will share by faith and example all that needs to be done to lead their children and grandchildren to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Encourage them this day, we pray. Amen. I'd like to conclude with a poem. I do not have the author of the poem, or the poet, but this is the way it reads. There's no love like a mother's. Her heart is filled with care. With Christ as her example, her Savior's love she'll share. A mother's love is endless, not changing for all time. When needed by her children, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all their tears and heartaches and special work they've done. When days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on. Through many generations, God's blessing on each one. Be thankful for our mothers who love with higher love, from power God has given and strength from up above. And then if we were meeting in our congregation, as a congregation this morning, we would conclude by singing together, Have Faith in God. Let me read this hymn to us. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. And that includes our faith in God when we pray for our children and grandchildren. Have faith in God in your pain and sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules. He reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And my prayer is that all who are listening today have placed all their trust in God by trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.